send out a mass memo from my account. The key code signature is 810516. Make sure you hit 7 on the after screen so I can reset the code once the email has been sent. Are you logged in and ready? Good. Type these exact words. Dear Statham Industries employees, thank you for all your hard work over the years. The company wouldn't be where it is now without you. To show you how much I mean that, today and Monday are surprise vacation days. You will still be paid for your regular shift, and you'll be awarded an additional 2 hours of pay per day. Thank you for all that you do. Sincerely, Jonathan Statham. I hung up. I didn't give Claire a chance to react. I pushed her against my desk and pulled her shirt over her head. Why would you— Shh, I unbuttoned her pants. I'll do anything to spend more time with you. I slid her pants down to the floor and smiled at the new see-through black panties she was wearing. For my birthday? She nodded and I laid her across the desk, determined to kiss every inch of her. Mr. Statham, Angela screamed over the intercom.
What?
Yes, Angela. Your lead trust advisor is at my desk. He's demanding to speak with you about that email you just sent. I planted kisses across Claire's stomach, stifling her moans with my hands. Tell him I'm busy. He says he'll wait until you're free. Why can't people just be fucking normal and accept a free off day? I'll be out in 20 minutes.
Am I allowed to go home, sir?
Yes, I laughed. See you Tuesday, Angela. I pulled Claire up and tossed her over my shoulder, laughing at her pitiful attempt to act like she wasn't enjoying this. I carried her into my adjoining suite and hit the bathroom lights. I guess we'll just relax until everyone leaves. I set her down in front of the jacuzzi and ran my hands across her legs. You're amazing, do you know that?
So are you.
She kissed me and I turned on the water, pressing the heated spa setting. I unclipped her bra and let it fall to the floor. Then I reached around her neck to unclasp her white and red flag-charmed necklace, but she gasped and defensively held her hand over it. She stepped away from me and took several deep breaths, as if she'd nearly drowned and come up for air. She leaned back against the counter and squeezed her eyes shut. I watched as she tried to compose herself, realizing that I'd never seen her without those two flag charms. Even when she wore a more elegant necklace, those charms were always attached, like they were a part of her. I tilted her head up and looked into her eyes. You don't really have a fascination with red and white flags, do you?
No.
I ran my fingers across the necklace and tugged at the white charm. They mean something to you, don't they? She nodded. Are you going to tell me what that something is? She didn't say anything, but I could see a hint of pain in her eyes, a small lump rising up her throat. The look on her face was something I'd never seen from her. It was a look of complete vulnerability. I'm sorry. I won't try to take it off again, I promise. I brought her head close to mine. Is the heated spa setting good enough for you? She nodded and smiled, and it looked like she'd completely forgotten about my attempt to take off that necklace. She slid her panties down to the floor, and I immediately picked her up and placed her into the tub. I'll be right back. I adjusted my pants and headed back to my office. I walked over to the door and let my lead advisor inside. Are you coming to tell me happy birthday, Milton? Someone already beat you to it.
No.
He picked up one of the balloons and popped it. Is that why you gave every employee the day off? Because it's your birthday? Would it be a problem if I did? Need I remind you that every move we make between now and the day we go public will be crucial? There's no need to remind me. I'm aware.
Are you? Because halting production for 2 workdays doesn't sound like something a well-informed CEO would do.
You think I'm well-informed? It's not too often that I get compliments from you.
I think you're delusional. And if you think that I'm going to sit around and let you drag this company down to the ground because you want to eat cake and play with balloons all day, then you are sadly mistaken.
He shook his head.
Milton, your ass isn't the only ass on the line, Jonathan. There's too much work at stake, and a random vacation isn't going to get it all done. You need to send a follow-up email right now and get your employees back to their desks before they...
Milton? I cut him off.
Go home and enjoy the damn vacation days. You worry too much. Everyone has been stressing out over the smallest things and worrying about stuff that doesn't even matter. We could all use a break. By the time everyone gets back from vacation on Tuesday, the workplace will be much happier and we'll be refocused on the IPO. Trust me. Fine, he sighed and opened my door. Enjoy your birthday. Thank you, I will. I shut down my computer and turned off all the lights. I locked the door that connected my office to my living suite and went back into the bathroom. Claire was busy toying with the remote, turning up the volume on a slow instrumental song. I quickly undressed and slid into the warm tub, reaching for her. Come here. I prefer this corner. I rolled my eyes and moved over to her side, wrapping my arms around her. I almost thought my lead trust advisor was more difficult than you are. How wrong that was. Whatever, she laughed. Guess who I ran into yesterday?
Who?
Mr. Henderson. He got another promotion. Apparently he's going to be working at the High Affairs office at our other campus across town. Do you know anything about that?
Yes.
No, but that's quite interesting. Is it?
It is, she sighed.
Admit it right now.
Admit what?
That you're ridiculously jealous.
You already know that.
And that you gave him a second promotion because you don't want him anywhere near me.
I rolled my eyes. I gave him a second promotion because I looked through his file and saw that he'd actually applied for the same senior position 5 years in a row and had been turned down. I gave him a promotion because he has a stellar review record and deserved to be recognized. His coming on to you again was just the catalyst that made me promote him faster.
Are you going to promote every man that flirts with me?
No, I'll fire whoever does it next.
She looked like she was about to go into one of her "I just don't understand you" tirades, but then her face softened, and she burst into laughter. I picked up a floating loofah and brushed it against her neck. Is my birthday dinner tonight non-negotiable, even though I don't want to go?
Yes.
Fine, I sighed. Should I assume that you used your credit card to hold the reservation?
Who else's would I use?
You could have asked for mine. I trust you, and I trust that you know better than to actually pay for dinner.
It's your birthday, Jonathan. That's what happens when you...
You never have to pay for anything, I kissed her shoulder. Ever. I made sure that tonight's dinner at Sierra Mar would be placed on my card before we walked inside. The restaurant was nestled high into a barrage of cliffs that overlooked the Pacific Ocean. Its panoramic windows revealed the entire shoreline of the California coast. The waitress led us past a full room of white cloth tables and into a private room that appeared to sit amongst the clouds. My eyes immediately veered towards a table with two sparkling gifts, towards the woman that was sitting beside them.
Haley? It couldn't be.
My sister hardly ever came to San Francisco, even when I begged her to. I always had to meet her in Memphis, or in some other city in the East Coast. She claimed she couldn't stand the air on the West Coast, and vowed to never come until she started to work for me. I stopped walking and looked at Claire. My voice was a whisper.
You got Haley to come here?
Is that not okay? I'm sorry if I overstep.
It's more than okay. I was utterly shocked. Not much in life surprised me.
John! Haley jumped up as soon as her eyes met mine.
Happy birthday!
Thank you, I hugged her. I thought you weren't coming here until the fall.
She looked over at Claire and laughed.
I wasn't.
Have a seat, have a seat. I already ordered for the two of you since you're 30 minutes late.
Traffic?
No, sex.
Yeah,
she shrugged.
Oh, well. Claire, it's great to finally put a face to the name. How was your...
I zoned out. I couldn't believe Claire had managed to get my sister to come to town. I still couldn't believe that she'd decorated my office earlier or set up a surprise dinner. No one had ever done anything like that for me. And I was trying to determine if it was real or not.
I heard my sister asking me questions as the dinner courses were served, but all I could do was look at Claire and smile as she threw her sexy green gaze back at me. I thought about how much she'd pushed me away in the beginning, how she still had parts of herself that were closed off, completely off limits. I was getting close to her now, and she knew it, but she wasn't pushing me away as much. She was pulling herself closer.
"Are you going to blow out the candles, or are you going to wait until your cake catches fire?"
Haley shook my shoulder.
"Hello?"
"What?" I snapped out of my thoughts and noticed the three-layer cupcake sitting in front of me. There was a "To Jonathan from Claire" message signed in whipped chocolate on the side of its plate. Smiling, I blew out the sparklers and looked over at Claire again. I didn't know they served cupcakes here.
"They don't," she said. "But when you tell them your date is Jonathan Statham, they'll make whatever you want."
"Is that so?" She smiled.
"Would you two please excuse me for a minute? I need to take this call."
"Of course." I stood up and helped her out of the chair, giving her a quick kiss before she walked away.
"Since when do you celebrate your birthday?"
Haley crossed her arms once Claire was out of earshot. "Do I need to buy you a gift too?" "No," I laughed. "She made me do this. What made you come during the semester?"
"Your girlfriend is pretty damn persuasive.
She made me fly in yesterday.
Is she a lawyer or something?"
"No, she works with me at the company." "You talked to Dad lately?"
"Unfortunately, he got sent to solitary confinement again last week. Contraband. It's going to be a rough 6 years for him. You talked to Mom?"
"New job, Eastern Sea Docks, 5 months post-rehab. Decent therapy sessions."
"Noted. Maybe the 13th time really is the charm."
I picked up my wine glass. "We'll see."
"You must really like Claire, huh?"
"What makes you say that?"
"Well, for one, you two can't take your eyes off one another for more than 5 seconds. It's actually quite nauseating. You also haven't called to check on me in 3 weeks, considering that you usually call me every other day."
"I have checked on you. I texted."
"No, Greg texted me," she laughed. "It's okay. It's nice not having to report to my overprotective big brother for a change."
"Don't get used to it."
"Trust me, I won't."
She looked at her watch.
"I'm gonna go now. Bring Claire to Memphis this summer, okay? My Scrabble tournament is going to be the last week of August. There's always a blues festival going on if you want to come some other time."
"You're leaving? Right now? You just got here."
"Yeah, you clearly weren't paying attention to anything I said over dinner, were you?"
She shook her head.
"I kept asking you 2 questions, and you just kept staring at each other and smiling. You think I want to stick around for another second of that shit?"
"I'm so sorry."
"It's okay. Greg is outside waiting to take me to the airport because my brother is too in love to pay me any attention right now."
I rolled my eyes and helped her out of her chair. "Have a safe flight. Thank you so much for coming."
"I will. I love you."
"Love you too." I gave her a hug and watched as she left the room. I realized Claire had been gone for quite a while and stood up. I started walking towards the restrooms, but I saw her walking my way.
"Where's Haley?"
she asked. "She was sick of us staring at each other, apparently. Are you okay?"
"Yeah, it's just Ashley and Caroline are driving me crazy about their shared car again. They called me on 3-way to ask about letting one of them drive my car tonight."
"You said no?"
"Of course I said no. They need to stick together and share what they have."
"Okay. Are you ready to go? After you open your presents. Let's do that first, and then I want to open them at home."
I had set the 2 presents, one sparkling red rectangular box and one fat silver box, in front of the fireplace, waiting for Claire to sit next to me.
"Which one should I open first?" I asked.
"The silver one."
"Okay." I took my time unwrapping it, unfolding every corner and gently pulling away each strip of tape. I placed each torn sheet in a neat stack and stuck all the tape pieces together.
"Why is it taking you so long?" she laughed.
"Do you need help unwrapping it? You're acting like you've never received a birthday present before."
"I haven't."
Her eyes widened and her face paled.
I'm sorry. I was just joking. I didn't..."
I pulled her close.
You didn't know. It's okay.
I peeled the last bit of paper off and flipped over the box. I took the lid off and sucked in a breath once I saw what it was.
I wasn't sure what to get you since you seemed to have everything already, she said as she pulled the golden sea hooks out of the box.
Since you love yachts so much, I figured I'd get you these. They say that sea hooks are...
I knew exactly what sea hooks meant, exactly what they stood for.
To someone who didn't know yachts, they were simply huge golden metal hooks in the shape of an anchor. But I knew better. Every man who owned a yacht had a set of loose sea hooks, and whenever he was seeing someone he loved, someone he couldn't live without, he was supposed to personalize them and weld them into the ship's real anchor. They were a symbol of longevity, a way of saying, I want to be with you. I looked over them and noticed that she'd already personalized them. Her name was etched alongside the edges in cursive, and my name was etched at the bottom. I didn't know what to say, so I simply opened the other present, much faster this time. I laughed once I tore the last sheet of paper off. I didn't know they made a Harry Potter version of Monopoly.
They don't, she took the box from my hands. I did some pretty intense work for Parker Brothers years ago, and they owed me one, so I asked them to make a one-of-a-kind game just for you. I know that neither of these gifts is a new car or a...
I leaned forward and pressed my lips against hers, wrapping my arms around her tightly, not wanting to let her go. I pulled her down to the carpet and ran my hands across her hips, still exploring her mouth with my tongue, saying everything with kisses that I couldn't say with words.
Thank you very much, I whispered once I had to take a breath. Everything you did today means a lot to me.
I'd never had a birthday party, birthday gifts, anything. My real parents never gave a shit about birthdays, and my foster parents only gave me one present per year, on Christmas, and it was usually a used electronic device or a book. After growing up so long without a birthday, I never saw a point in celebrating. I slowly let her go and reached into my back pocket. I bought something for you, too. I handed her a small jewelry box.
This isn't an engagement ring, is it? She paled. I can't accept or agree to...
What? I sat up and laughed.
No.
I think I know you much better than that. Open it.
Can it wait until tomorrow? It's your birthday and I don't want to...
Open the box.
But... Now.
She let out an exasperated sigh.
I really don't want to.
Chapter 22 Claire Open the damn box, Claire. His voice was stern. I don't feel like threatening you on my birthday. You're acknowledging that it's your birthday now? 5 seconds. No. No? He raised his eyebrow. Are you a parrot? I tossed the box back to him. You heard me. He narrowed his eyes and reached out to grab me, but I jumped up and stepped backwards. He jumped up with ease and smiled his wicked grin. You always have to do things the hard way, don't you? He lunged towards me, but I slipped away. I ran out of the room with him on my heels, dashing down the grand staircase. I rushed through the double corridors, past the parlor, and into the kitchen, hoping to hide in the two-roomed pantry. Before I could slip inside, I felt myself being lifted into the air and tossed over his shoulder. Next time I won't give you a head start, he playfully smacked my ass. He carried me outside to the pool deck and set me down on a plush lounge chair. He reached into his pocket and handed me the ring box again. Now, I sighed. I flipped the box open and saw a folded sheet of paper sitting in the ring slot. A note? Read it. I unfolded it and cleared my throat. Dear Ms. Grayson, on behalf of Vintage Consolidated Loan Company... We are writing to inform you that the balance on your outstanding mortgage and student loan accounts is officially zero. We are enclosing the history of payments that were recently... I stopped reading aloud and read the rest to myself. I felt tears forming at the corners of my eyes. You paid off my house? And my student loans? I felt like I needed to say it out loud to confirm it. I should have done it sooner. he said softly. I was speechless. Thank you so much. I don't even know what to... I can't believe you.
Now you don't need to work overtime, and you can spend all your extra time with me. This was more so a gift for me than you, he smiled. Wasn't that way better than a proposal?
I laughed and let a few tears fall. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. But the next time I give you a gift, and you even think about not opening it when I tell you to...
I pressed my lips against his and bit down on his tongue. If you fulfill your I must make Claire do whatever I say quota for the day, I would like to end your birthday properly. End by properly. I mean fucking you against this chair until you can't walk. I slid a pair of shades over my eyes and lay back on a fluffy yellow blanket. I held my e-reader in front of my face and continued to read through one of my favorite books, Fahrenheit 451. When I'd woken up this morning, exhausted from everything Jonathan and I had done last night, he'd suggested that we have a breakfast picnic at the park. I thought we were going to cook the food ourselves and bring it along, but we drove to the park. Shortly after we arrived, trays of Belgian waffles, organic strawberries, bacon, eggs, and toast were delivered from an exclusive restaurant.
Are you planning on reading all day?
He kissed my cheek. Will that be a problem?
Not until tonight.
He lay down next to me and took the e-reader from my hands.
You haven't said much to me all morning. Are you okay?
Why is he so good at noticing stuff like that? I'm fine. He rolled on top of me and looked into my eyes.
The truth.
I wish I could tell you. Nothing's wrong. I've just been thinking lately and I... Okay. I honestly like you a lot. And I know you said that I shouldn't worry about... I sighed. Can I ask you something?
Whatever you want.
Why did you want to go on a date with me so badly after we'd already had sex? He arched his brow.
What do you mean?
You kept asking me to go out every day, and I kept turning you down. I would think that a man would rather accept no-strings-attached sex rather than trying to pursue...
I liked you the first day I saw you. I thought you were the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. And there was, and still is... something about you that I couldn't get over. When you turned me down at the grocery store and at work, not to mention standing me up after I thought you'd said yes, I decided I wouldn't take no for an answer. The sex was exceptional, but I wanted to get to know you better.
But you could have gotten anyone.
I wanted you.
He kissed my lips. Why? You barely knew me back then, you...
Do you slip into these insecure ruts often?
Is once or twice a week often? Why?
Because if you do, I'm clearly not doing my job, and I need to do more to make you understand how much I care about you, how I'm willing to do anything to make you happy.
My heart fluttered. No, it's not. I'm not doubting that you care. I just want to be fully prepared for when you finally wake up and realize that you and I aren't...
Stop it.
He cupped my face in his hands. He pressed his forehead against mine and whispered,
I'm not going anywhere, ever. As a matter of fact, you'll leave me before I leave you.
Jonna.
I'm sorry that you've been feeling this way so often. I'll do better.
He kissed me and ran his fingers through my hair.
Did you have any plans for today?
No. I cleared my whole weekend for your birthday. He smiled.
In that case, I want to take you somewhere.
He rolled off of me and pulled me to my feet.
Come on.
I was sitting in the back seat of the town car wearing a black blindfold over my eyes. I couldn't see anything but darkness, and every time I attempted to take a peek, Jonathan playfully tapped my hand. We'd been riding along for at least an hour, and I was getting anxious, excited. I knew wherever he was taking me was going to be amazing.
Mr. Statham, is this close enough?
Greg asked as the car slowed down.
This is perfect. Thank you.
He made sure the blindfold was still tight and helped me out of the car,
He grabbed my hand and we took several steps into the harsh, blowing winds. "We're here," he said. "Well, almost. We still have another 2 hours to go before we get there." "Another 2 hours? Why did we get out of the car?" He laughed and lifted me up onto what felt like a short stack of steps. Then I felt him holding both of my hands. "Are you ready?" he asked. I nodded excitedly, and he slowly moved the blindfold away from my eyes. My heart dropped as soon as I saw what the surprise was. I tried to keep myself calm, but it was no use. His large private plane was standing a couple hundred feet away. It was a white Citation Sovereign jet, seating capacity for 9, 3,000 miles of nonstop mileage, and easily worth $18 million. I knew that because my girls had built that particular model over and over, because they'd gushed about how it was the top of the line in executive flight travel. I saw the pilot descending from the cabin, waving at us, and I suddenly lost the ability to breathe. I clutched the flag charms on my necklace, and my knees buckled underneath me. "Claire?" Jonathan helped me back up. "Claire, what's wrong? Why are you shaking?" He squeezed my hand, but I snatched it away and shut my eyes. I tried to think about something happy, something positive, but pictures started to flash through my mind, making me remember all the things I wish I could forget. The newspaper stories, the endless media coverage, the crash site photos. My twin sister's face. My heart was pounding so fast and loud that I could hear it over Jonathan asking what the hell was going on and calling out for help. I tried to convince myself that this was just another nightmare, another dream that I would wake up from in any second. But as I gasped for air, as I tried to head back down the steps and back into the town car, I felt my body hitting the concrete, and everything went black. I blinked my eyes open and realized I was lying in bed at home. The clock on my wall read 2 o'clock, and my windows were unlatched and open, letting in a warm spring breeze. I turned my head to the right and saw Jonathan eyeing me curiously, holding an ice pack against my shoulder. I tried to give him an assured smile, but every muscle in my body felt weak. "What happened?" I croaked. "You had a panic attack." He set the ice pack down and caressed my cheek. "You fainted and fell off the platform."
"Oh."
I tried to roll over so I wouldn't have to see the worry in his eyes, but I couldn't feel my left foot. I looked down and saw that it was sitting on a stack of pillows, resting underneath 2 bags of ice. "You sprained your ankle. You'll need to take those every 4 hours." He pointed towards the medicine on my nightstand and moved closer. "You're scared of planes?" I shook my head and felt tears welling in my eyes. He slipped his hand behind my pillows and helped me to sit up. "Talk to me, Claire."
"I'm beyond scared. I'm terrified. So terrified that I'm scared to pick up my own daughters from the airport."
"Why?" I sighed. I reached around my neck and felt for the 2 flag charms, making sure they were right where they were supposed to be. "Have I ever told you that identical twins run in my family? It's the strangest thing. Almost every woman in my family has a set of twins. I cried the first 3 months after Ashley and Caroline were born, because I finally knew what it felt like to be a mother, and I couldn't fathom how my mother felt when she lost my sister." He held my hand and stroked my knuckles with his fingertips. "We were only 18. We'd been inseparable our whole lives. Everywhere I went, she went. No questions asked. And we liked it that way. We were even going to the same college. I was going to pursue acting and she was going to pursue art. She was naturally good at drawing and designing things. We were supposed to be on the same flight, Pittsburgh to North Carolina. We were going to do an early summer scope out of the school so we could check out the dorms before we sent in our living requests." Her face flashed before my eyes, and I didn't try to wipe my tears away. I kept telling the story, remembering every second like it was yesterday. "We were both sitting at the gate, and the agent came over the intercom and said, "We need a few people to give up their seats and catch the later flight." Neither of us moved because we thought that people in coach didn't have a choice. But the agent kept saying over and over, "We need a few more willing passengers. We'll give you a free flight. We'll give you a first-class upgrade." So I turned to her and I said, "Let's ask if we can switch flights. We can even get them to let us use their phone and call Mom to tell her we're going to be arriving later." She said, "No, you're always telling me what to do, Claire. I'm staying on this flight. Deal with it." I paused. We'd been arguing all day. I swore she'd stolen my favorite purple purse. She swore that she hadn't. I was frustrated and annoyed, so I told her I didn't want to sit with her, that I hoped she got lost whenever her plane landed. I got up and changed my ticket. The gate agent thanked me, and that was that. She and I shared a bag of popcorn before it was time for her to go, and then I told her goodbye. I cleared my throat and sniffled. It was like an hour later, when I was on my plane, that they were ordering us all to get off. No one had cell phones back then, so I didn't know what was going on. I just thought we were switching planes or that our flight had been delayed. When I finally got a chance to use the payphone, I called my mom and she was screaming. She was saying, "Thank God you're alive. Thank God you weren't on that plane." I asked her what she was talking about, and she said that the plane we were scheduled to be on crashed into a small town 30 minutes into the flight, and that the emergency responders were already reporting that there were... My voice cracked. That there were no survivors. She said, "I'm so happy. I thought I'd lost the two of you. Let me speak to your sister." Heavier tears fell down my face and my throat became dry. I had to tell her that we didn't stick together like she'd told us to. That I didn't make her change her flight like I should have, and... He pulled me close and wiped my tears away with his shirt. "I'm so sorry." It was 6 months before I could walk into our bedroom. I tugged at my necklace again. I went through all of her stuff, hugging everything she owned. And then I found this pretty white box under her bed with my name and the words, "You pick first," on it. Inside were two charm bracelets she'd made with one flag charm each. One was red and one was white. And they, when you put them together, they read, "Always together, sisters forever," on the back. I thought 10 or 20 years would be enough time, but there are still triggers here or there, and I'll never get over it. He wrapped his arms around me and kissed my forehead. He held me until I stopped trembling, until I was able to say sentences without sobs breaking them up. "Do you know what the airline gives you when your family member dies in a plane crash?" I felt him wiping more of my tears away. He shook his head. "Nothing." "There wasn't a lawsuit?" "There was," I sighed. "But it didn't bring her back, so it doesn't matter. Does it make me a bad mother when I say I hate that my daughters want to be pilots? I absolutely hate it." "No." He smoothed my hair. "Do they know about your sister?" "They know she died in a plane crash. They don't know it was my fault."
"It wasn't your fault. You didn't know it was going to crash."
Says the man who saved his sister from a burning trailer. "It was definitely my fault, and I..."
"It wasn't your fault, Claire."
He pulled me close to his chest.
"You can't blame yourself for everything that goes wrong in life. What was your sister's name?"
"Caroline. Caroline Ashley Grayson."
"That's a really pretty name."
He tucked a strand of hair behind my ear and kissed my cheek. I wanted to say more, to tell him how Caroline actually hated her name, but I shut my eyes and gave in to the much-needed sleep. Chapter 23. Claire.
"Your dancing is getting better."
Jonathan smiled as he twirled me around the yacht's dance floor. "Yours is still questionable."
"It's because I have a terrible teacher."
He laughed and pulled me into his arms. Are you still on the fence about being my date to the IPO ball? I nodded. I knew he wanted me to go with him. He'd been making that fact very clear all week. Yet, it was still a while away, and I was nervous about making our relationship public. It seemed like we were the only people at corporate who'd been taking advantage of the invisible fraternization policy. And I knew my co-workers would have something negative to say about it. I'll give you until the end of the week to say yes. He dipped me low to the ground. I'm not going with anyone else. You could always go alone. He rolled his eyes and pulled me back up. Let me know when you want Greg to take you shopping for a dress. He brushed a stray hair away from my face. I always take an employee as a date to the company's social functions. No one will suspect anything. So, you won't touch or kiss me while we're at the party? I can't promise that. He tilted my chin up and brushed his lips against mine. You know I don't care who's watching. He traced my lips with his tongue and parted my mouth open, but then he stopped. Where is the pool? He said he had a pool. Maybe he lied about it to get us to come. How are we supposed to brag to the rest of the squad about being on a luxury yacht that doesn't have a pool? He laughed and stepped back as Ashley and Caroline rounded the corner, staring at us. Ashley breathed one of her most dramatic sighs. You told us that there was a pool, Jonathan. We brought our bikinis and our cameras, but there's no pool. I'll show you where it is. He grabbed my hand and motioned for them to follow us. He led us up two stairwells and inside a massive room with walls that were covered in frosted glass. He hit the lights, and then he pulled on a small lever, making the hundreds of dark gray panels on the floor slide open to reveal a clear blue pool. Ugh, how did he expect us to find this? Caroline shook her head. She and Ashley immediately tossed off their towels and slid into the pool, laughing about the many ways they planned on making their friends jealous. Would you like to finish your dance lesson now? He whispered. I can't use the pool? There's another one downstairs. He slipped his arm around my waist. You can use it after we're finished. Dancing? You can call it whatever you want. I couldn't get into girls' night. Not tonight. All I could think about was Jonathan. Him kissing me. Him holding me. And him making love to me. Ever since he'd said, I'll do better, he'd taken things to another level. He came over on the weeknights and hung out with me and my daughters, crushing me at Monopoly, helping them with their model planes, and even cooking for us sometimes. On the weekends, he treated us to full days at sea, bringing along a chef team that prepared whatever we wanted. He insisted on picking me up for work in the mornings, and he'd even managed to get me to eat lunch with him every afternoon. The flowers he had delivered on a daily basis now included small chocolates and sweet little notes that made me blush, and the sex between us, though it had always been amazingly mind-blowing, was becoming way more passionate and intense. Tonight he was away at some conference in L.A., and I was missing him, truly missing him, and I was too scared to acknowledge the exact reasoning behind that. Some men really need to take a class on the proper way to please a woman. Helen set down her glass. It's so sad when they don't know how. These last few men have forced me to invest in a brand new vibrator. I'm thinking about starting my own website and giving free pointers. I sighed. Do you keep track of how many men you've been with? Or is that completely pointless now? I stopped counting at 30. 30? Or was it 40? She shrugged. Men do it all the time. I don't ever want to be married, so why not? You don't ever want to settle down and be with one man for the rest of my life? No. I've learned from the failure of my parents and all my friends' marriages. No offense. None taken. How's your cougar romance going? I'm not a cougar, I shook my head, and it's not a romance. It's just dating. Exclusive dating, she laughed. Yes. Where's Sandra? She's not coming. Something about a last-minute date with that hot doctor you set her up with? Oh, well, good for her. I'm glad they're still going out.
She said he's an animal in bed. I can't believe you passed him up. Then again, she smiled. Never mind. I set my drink down. What happens when me and Jonathan don't work out? What? I decided to finally lay my pent-up insecurities on the table. I'd been holding them in for far too long, and I wouldn't dare tell Jonathan. It would just make him become even more wonderful and make me seem insane for even questioning this. You know we're not going to last, Helen, I said. It'd never work. Everything that attracted him to me was superficial. Once those things wear off and he realizes that he could have someone half my age with half the baggage, it'll be over. Then what happens? Do I date someone my age because dating a younger man in the first place is a bad idea? Do I date again at all? Or do I become like you and simply have sex with random men whenever I'm lonely? Are you deliberately trying to kill my buzz? Or is this something... I'm serious. I can't talk to anyone else about this. There are some days when I honestly feel insecure about the whole thing. Everyone feels insecure from time to time, Helen sighed. It's normal. But this is different. I don't know how to deal with his... Listen to me, Claire. Just stop. You think too much. Way too much. You know what you should do right now?
What?
Text him and tell him that you miss him.
Huh?
Tell him that you miss him.
I don't miss him, I lied. I saw him a few days ago. Besides, he's at some conference in L.A.
She rolled her eyes. You don't have to have all the answers right now. If you two work out, great. If not, great. Take it as a learning experience. You don't have to have a happily ever after with every guy you date. Just date, and for now be honest with yourself. You miss him.
I tossed back a drink and decided to take her advice. I texted him. I miss you.
My phone vibrated immediately. Where are you?
At a bar with Helen.
Which bar?
Blackbird?
Stay there. I'm on my way to get you.
I thought you were in L.A.
I am. It's only a one-hour flight. Don't worry. Back to San Fran. I'll see you soon. Was that so hard to do?
Helen downed her gin and tonic.
Now, order me a new drink. An extremely stiff one. Your depressing psychobabble completely wore off the effects of my last one. I didn't even feel it burn.
We both laughed and filled each other in on what had happened over the past few months.
She'd officially been named the Lawyer of the Year and had experienced the sensations of a lifetime with one of the other nominees when she'd gone to Vegas. I was telling her about me and Jonathan's most recent date when I felt my heart speeding up and fluttering against my chest, when I felt my body letting me know that he was somewhere nearby. I turned around to look for him and saw him standing right behind me.
Good evening, Claire,
he grinned.
Hello, Helen.
Well, that's my cue. Helen smiled at us both. I'll see you two.
Are you okay to drive yourself back?
He asked.
Oh, I'm not driving. I'm going to call a cab. He shook his head.
I'll have my driver take you home.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
We walked outside where his town car was waiting, and Jonathan helped her inside.
Have a good night, Helen. I'll see you again soon, I'm sure.
He shut the door and waited for the car to drive off.
Come on.
He clasped my hand and walked me two blocks down into a private parking garage. We took the elevator up to the third level and walked over to his car. I was about to head over to the passenger side, but he pushed me against the car and wrapped his arms around my waist, kissing me until I was out of breath.
I missed you too,
he whispered, as he continued to make love to my lips.
Where do you want to go?
What do you mean? He tenderly bit my bottom lip to each syllable.
Where do you want to go?
Your place?
That's 40 minutes away.
He moved his kisses down to my collarbone.
Pick somewhere else.
My place?
30 minutes away.
A hotel?
Which one?
The Ritz-Carlton around the corner?
Good choice.
Chapter 24. Jonathan. Ah! Claire reached up and grabbed fistfuls of my hair. I bent down and kissed her neck, thrusting myself deeper and deeper inside of her. You're all I can think about,
I can't concentrate on anything but you. I breathed heavily. I caressed her breasts and briefly covered her mouth with mine, reveling in the feel of her soft lips. Tell me you feel the same way. Her hands moved from my head to my back, and she dug her nails into my bare skin. She tried to slow the tempo by grabbing onto my waist, but I pinned her arms above her head. I took one of her nipples into my mouth, teasingly biting it as I sped up my thrusts. Tell me, I bit down on it harder. Tell me right now. Yes. She shut her eyes, and her body writhed underneath mine, climaxing at the exact same second as me. She shook for several seconds, and I let myself slowly fall on top of her. We lay entwined for what felt like forever, gazing into each other's eyes, smiling every few seconds, laughing at nothing at all. After we'd checked out of the Ritz-Carlton this morning, I decided to give her a tour of another one of my yachts, one of the ones I hadn't sailed in a while. The tour only lasted 2 minutes, though. We never made it past the bedroom. Am I hurting you? I felt her trying to move her shoulder. A little, she laughed, and I rolled off of her. I pulled her into my arms so we were face to face, and sighed. What are you thinking about now?
Nothing.
Your eyes give you away all the time, I smiled. That's how I know when you're lying to me. I can talk to you about anything, right? Of course you can, I kissed her. I don't want any boundaries between us. She nodded and lay there silently, not saying another word. That wasn't a question that led into another question. I tried to read her eyes. She laughed.
Not really. I just wanted to know.
Would you mind going to dinner with me and my mom next weekend?
You two are on good terms now? She raised her eyebrow.
I don't know. I walked out of our last therapy session, so I wouldn't necessarily say good terms.
You don't think you can have dinner without arguing with her?
Not unless you're there. I would just feel more comfortable if you came with me, that's all. She smiled and moved closer to me.
Okay, I'll come.
If you fuck this dinner up, I will never forgive you. I drove my car into the turnaround and looked over at my mother. Do you understand me?
What are you talking about, Jonathan? And watch how you talk to me. I'm still your mother. How can I possibly mess up a dinner?
You've messed up everything else in my life. I'm sure you'll figure something out. She looked hurt. You're never going to forgive me for the past, are you? Are you ever going to get over it? I didn't answer her. I waited for the valet to walk up to my window and handed him the keys. Let's go. The last few therapy sessions we'd had were nothing like the ones we had before. They were brutal. I'd walked out on her 3 times because I refused to buy into her "I don't really remember that happening" bullshit. I felt like she was copping out and not being completely honest. The only reason I even agreed to a dinner with her was because the therapist said we needed to try something new. In fact, I almost called the dinner off until Claire encouraged me to go through with it. She thought I needed to give my mother a second chance, since this was the longest she'd ever been clean. I walked over to my mother's side and helped her out of the car. I linked her arm in mine and walked inside the restaurant.
"Mr. Statham," the hostess said, "your other guest has already arrived. Shall I take you to the table first or to the gallery room?"
"The table."
"Right this way."
She led us onto an elevator and up to the top level. She walked us past a packed room of patrons and into an empty room with one table in the center of the floor. My eyes quickly veered towards Claire. She was standing near the windows in a dark gray gown that perfectly accentuated her sexy curves. She must have heard us enter, because she immediately turned around and smiled at me. I walked over to the table and pulled out her chair. "You look stunning tonight," I kissed the nape of her neck.
"Thank you," she sat down. "I agree," my mother nodded as I pulled out her chair next. "You're a vision, sweetheart." "Thank you very much, Mrs. Statham."
A waiter came over and cleared his throat. "Good evening, ladies. Mr. Statham, would you like to start off with our signature wine for the night, or would you like to order something more unique?" My date and I will be having the signature wine. Mrs. Statham, I said as I looked at my mother, will be having your best juice. I caught her rolling her eyes. Very well, sir, he sauntered off. I was about to strike up a conversation, but a different waiter came over and set down our drinks, just that quickly. He politely went over the chef's menu for the night and made suggestions, practically ordering the food for us. When he walked away, I cleared my throat. How was your day today, mother?
It was pretty good. They let me run the shop by myself. They're going to let me choose the new treatments for the windows tomorrow. I already know what kind I want to get.
What type is that? Claire asked.
Woven bamboo shades. One of our customers told me that they would make the place look more authentic. So I think I'm going to take the advice.
Yellow or brown? Claire raised her eyebrow.
Brown, my mother sipped her juice. The walls in the shop are all painted in earth tones, so it'll match better.
I put my arm around Claire's shoulders. I guess I need to start paying attention to those HGTV shows.
That makes two of us, my mother shook her head. So, Claire, what do you do at Statham Industries?
I'm a marketing director. I oversee the slogans and artwork for promotional campaigns.
Did you do any work for the S-Phone Blue? Those commercials are beyond beautiful.
I smiled. She did. I listened as my mother talked about her inability to work anything my company produced, as she and Claire talked about their favorite books. I'd somehow forgotten that my mother was a huge literature fan before she got hooked on drugs. The waiters discreetly refilled our glasses and brought out the courses one by one. I was in the middle of tasting the chef's mushroom risotto when I noticed Claire scrolling away on her phone.
Who are you texting?
Ashley and Caroline. I swear they think every time I go out is an opportunity to borrow my car. I'm just going to give in and buy them separate cars for their birthday. They do deserve it.
I'll help you pick the cars out, I squeezed her hand. And I'll buy them.
You have daughters? My mother smiled. She seemed like she was actually trying to make this dinner go smoothly. How old are they?
They're 16.
Wow, twins. I have a friend in my therapy group with twins. She swears they're a handful, but I think it's because they're fraternal. A boy and a girl going through puberty at the same time. That's got to be rough.
We all laughed. The hostess from downstairs walked over to our table.
Excuse me, she said. I don't mean to interrupt your dinner, but the gallery room is only going to be open for one more hour. Would you like to take a tour now? In keeping with the artist's vision, the women start on one side of the gallery and the men start on the other. It enhances the experience.
I'd love to, my mother stood up. What about you, Claire?
Yeah, it sounds great. I'll come right after I finish my dessert, she smiled.
Do you want me to wait for you?
No, you don't have to, Claire shook her head. I'll be down in 5 minutes max.
My mom looked at me with a glance that said, I'm really trying here, and I smiled at her. I was shocked at how well she'd behaved herself tonight. I didn't think things could have gone any better. As the hostess escorted my mom downstairs, I looked over at Claire. Thank you so much for coming tonight. It really means a lot to me.
You're more than welcome. I think you two are going to be okay in the long run.
Let's hope so. Hurry up and finish your dessert. I want us to see the gallery.
It's not like we can see it together. The hostess just said,
I don't give a damn about what enhances the experience. I brought her head close to mine and whispered in her ear. Part of the exhibit is a pitch-black room, and I'm going to experience that with you. I moved Claire's dress back over her shoulders and gave her one last kiss. We walked through the rest of the exhibit hand in hand, leaning on one another, discussing what we did and didn't like. Once we reached the last piece, a huge plastic X covered in polka dots and graffiti, I spotted my mother by the doors. She walked over and reached for Claire's hand.
It was a pleasure getting to know you better tonight, honey. Maybe next week we could all do it again.
Claire shook her hand and nodded.
Definitely. That'd be great. Greg is going to take me home, Jonathan. I texted him while we were eating dinner. I figured you and Claire may want to spend more time together tonight.
Who is this woman, and where the hell is my real mother? Thank you. I gave her a hug and whispered, Thank you so much. I'm sorry for what I said earlier in the car. I let her go and watched her walk outside to the town car. As soon as the car pulled off, I pulled Claire into my arms and kissed her like my life depended on it, holding her body tightly against mine, slipping my tongue deeper into her mouth each time she moaned. Come home with me tonight.
Chapter 25 Claire. I was breaking up with Jonathan. Today. I couldn't take this shit anymore. It was way too much, and I was tired of crying about it alone. I needed to end this affair for my own sanity, for my own health. I knew that he and I were bound to break up down the line anyway. So as amazing as our relationship had been, it was time to cut him off. He had no idea what I'd been going through over the past few weeks, and I wasn't going to tell him. He'd put the pieces together with time, and by then he'd have hopefully found someone who was a much better match. I'd been contemplating this for a while, but once I cried myself to sleep last night while lying in his arms, I knew that letting him go was what I needed to do. I didn't eat lunch with him this afternoon, and I answered all of his sweet random texts with a, "We're still really busy down here, but I promise I'll come see you later." I didn't bother opening any of the notes on his latest flower and chocolate deliveries either. I didn't want to back out of this. I waited until the end of the workday, rehearsing my speech over and over, bracing myself for his reaction. As soon as my clock struck 6 and the "Goodbye, Jonathan" alarm on my cell phone sounded, I took the elevator up to his office. "Good afternoon." I stopped at his secretary's desk and cleared my throat. "Is Mr. Statham available right now?" "Miss Grayson," she said, smiling. "You know as well as I do that he's always available for you." My heart sank. "I know. But is he busy with another client? I don't want to interrupt anything important." "Oh, no, not at all. His last appointment ended over an hour ago." She picked up her phone. "Mr. Statham, Miss Grayson is here to see you." She motioned for me to head inside. I exhaled and shut my eyes before twisting the doorknob. Stay focused and make it quick. Don't make a scene and don't cry. Whatever you do, don't cry. The moment I stepped inside, he swept me into his arms and kissed me. "You're the best part of my day." He carried me over to his desk and set me down. "Are you all right? You look sick." "I think we need to break up. I think we need to break up. Say it." "I'm fine." "Hmm." He walked over to his cabinet and grabbed a bottle of water. He handed it to me and put his hand on my forehead like he was checking for a fever. "You sure you're okay?" I nodded. He reached into his jacket and pulled out a rectangular jewelry box. "I meant to give it to you yesterday, but the board meeting lasted forever and I forgot all about it. I want you to open it with me later." "I can't accept this." He rolled his eyes and placed it into my purse. He moved behind his desk and started packing his briefcase. "Are we still on for dinner tonight? Ashley and Caroline mentioned wanting to make apple pie together, so I think we should break up." His head shot up. "What?" I felt a lump rising up my throat and forced it back down. "I don't want to be with you anymore," I swallowed and tried to keep my tears at bay. I thought he was going to say something, anything, but there was only silence, deafening silence. He narrowed his eyes and strolled over to me, making me step back against a wall. "Is this some type of joke?" he hissed. "Because it better be..." "It's not a joke." My voice was a whisper. "I can't do this to myself anymore." "What? Where the fuck is this coming from?" I ignored his question. I started reciting the speech I'd written earlier. "I think it's best if you and I go our separate ways, Jonathan. I know it may be hard for you to understand why right now, but we weren't going to make it too much longer anyway. I'm grateful for everything you've..." "Stop talking." He pressed his chest against mine and looked directly into my eyes, forcing my body to react against my will.
You're not making any sense, and you know it.
He placed a firm hand at the small of my back and used his other hand to run his fingers through my hair. He whispered,